This is Marilyn Coulter, Fisher Body Historical Team interviewer, with Rosalind Wright. It's, what time is that?
8:45.
It's 8:45. Rosalind.
The date.
I did. August 25th. Anyways, Rosalind, can you please spell your name for us?
Rosalind Wright, Wright.
And Rosalind, when did you hire in?
Initially in 1979. Then I worked 87 days and I got laid off. Then I came back in March 27th, 1981.
Can you tell us what it was like when you first hired in?
Interesting. I remember first walking in here thinking everybody, I didn't know if I wanted to work here because everybody had glasses on. I said, this place must be ruining everybody's eyes. But I did. That's what I thought. Yeah. And I'd never been inside a plant before and never have ever worked on anything that was moving. So I thought that was pretty different.
So, you said you had never worked any place else like that before.
No.
What's your other work history before coming here?
I've worked with community service things, worked with people with the youth, Eastside Neighborhood Organization. I've worked there as working with the youth over on that side of town. But then my background is health. So I've worked in hospitals when I was in my teens, and then I went to school to get a nursing degree, but then I didn't complete it due to some circumstances that I was involved in. Then I worked at Model Cities Health Services, Model Cities Dental, Urban League as the Assistant Associate Health Director there, and then here.
So it was a big culture shock coming in here.
Mm-hmm.
What's your current position now?
I'm the UAW ADAPT coordinator.
And that is what?
ADAPT stands for Enabling Disabled People in Transition. So I deal with people that come in with restrictions or have restrictions and trying to find work for them to do within their restrictions.
And how long have you been doing that?
It's been probably almost 7 years.
And how did you get that particular?
I applied for it. There was an opening where two of the people that were doing the job before had retired, was retiring, and they needed to fill that spot. So I expressed my interest in that. Matter of fact, Beth is the one that told me about the position, and I applied. Beth Mace Kimmel.
And now, so take us through the walk that you had when you came here. Like what happened when you first came through the door to how you are now? What steps kind of took place here? Where did you work? What department did you work in?
When I first hired in, I came in and I worked in trim. That was in 79. And I remember coming in, and they put me in a department putting on the door wires for the electric locks and the windows, power windows. And you had to build the wires yourself based on the option that the car called for. And I remember doing that job, and me and my girlfriend, Deborah Hanson, hired in the same day, in the same department. And I thought, I remember working on that job and trying to stay up the line because, like I said, I never worked on anything that was moving before. And I remember going home that night dreaming about going down the line, and everybody was yelling and screaming at me and cussing. I remember it was just awful. that's all I could think about. But the next day that I came in, from dreaming that, I knew exactly what to do the next day. And so I didn't have that trouble the next day.
That was great.
Yeah.
So how long did you work in trip?
Probably about 2 months. And then they put me in another department. They put me in the cushion room.
And what's the cushion room?
That's where they actually put the fabric and the cushions on the seats of the car. And I worked over there, and I remember they gave me that hog ring gun. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that. Did you ever work there?
I did that, but I didn't do hog rings. So you want to tell, for those people who don't know what a hog ring is?
It's like a huge metal staple that, actually turns into a ring, and it connects the fabric of the seat to the frame of the seat for the cars. And I remember using those things, and I remember how much strength it had to take just to be able to do that, and how dangerous it was if you really wasn't familiar with how to use that. And I remember not being able to have the strength to, you know, actually connect that. So then they put me on bolting down the bottoms of the bolts on the bottom of the seat. And they had that great big right-angled motor. And I remember, oh, my God, and you had to have a lot of strength to do that, too. And I didn't have the strength to do that, too, because I think when I came hired in, I only weighed 98 pounds. And so that was, you know, and I'm pretty strong. Even then I was. But it was, I remember it was really hard to do that. And then they took me off of that job because I was covering somebody that was on sick leave. And they had me doing sweeping the floors after that. And so I remember sweeping the floors in that area. And it was just before Thanksgiving. And I did that for like a couple of weeks. And I remember people telling me that was the first time the area had been cleaned in a long, long time. And then about 2 days, no, it was the day before Thanksgiving, they laid me off.
And then you stayed out then until
91. Until 81.
And so.
And then I reapplied. And I remember when I applied the next time, it was so cold outside. And I was working at Jean Nicole's then. And it was so cold, and that's when they had the lines that were backed out from, you had to come in on the south lot. And the line was backed up. You know how you go up the stairs there? The line was from there all the way up the stairs, all the way out the door, into the parking lot. And it was so cold out that you had to take turns sitting in the car to warm up just to stand in line to be able to get your application in. And I remember Channel 6, I think it was TV 6 News or 10, they were out there because all the people that were trying to get in because they were hiring almost a whole new shift of people. Mm-hmm. And then I heard in then.
So do you remember how long you stayed out outside?
Oh, yeah, it was probably about 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours stayed mm-hmm. inside. Mm-hmm. And then you came in, then when you hired in 81, you ended in what department?
Trim again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I remember going into trim, and I worked in, they had me putting on the clamps for the windshield support clamps. And I remember they had broken up. I ended up getting that job. The people that they had on the jobs before that were men. Mm-hmm. Because it was a windshield support. There was three motors on the job. It was a windshield support. You had to put that little clip there. Then I had to go to the back of the car and I had to put in the automatic trunk locks mm-hmm. on the station wagon and the Cutlass. And then at another motor that I had to screw down the some little clamp down there for the light, and then put the bulbs in and tapes. And I remember I used to go to the bathroom on my breaks just to cry because it used to hurt me so bad.
Mm. Now, I know it was hard, but I know you said because the job was done by men. In 79 and 81...
Well, they had combined that job that I had. They had cut back on people then, and they had combined that job. It was three jobs at one time. They combined all those three jobs into one, and I ended up on it because I was a little seniority.
Ah, so you got the bad job. But now, at that time when you came in, were there many women in the plant?
Yeah, well...
In your department that you were working in?
Yeah, it was, because the people that were hired, a lot of people were hired in the same day. The 27th of March, well, that whole month of March, all the end of March, a lot of people hired in that time. And then I think there was probably more women that hired in on that day mm-hmm. than probably on other days.
Really?
So there was a few women in there, in that department.
So it was a little bit different from when you were here in 79?
Yes. Yeah, it was. There wasn't nearly as many women.
And
there still wasn't a lot then, but it was more than in that department. There was quite a few.
So now, did you always work in the trim department?
No, I worked in trim probably for the most part, and then they had the layoff. No, I got after I worked in trim. I went from C trim to M trim, then back to C trim, and then I got pregnant. And I was having bad problems with my pregnancy. And when I came back, I went to paint.
Huh? So now, go back a bit. So when you came in, were there any kind of new hire initiations or anything that you went through?
No.
No, you just came in, did your job?
No, they came in, they told me what I had to do. I had 3 days to learn the job, and that was it.
Okay. So would you say that there was a big difference between trim and paint, and which department did you like better, and why?
Actually, I liked paint better. The work was a lot lighter. It was quieter where I worked at. Trim was, I think it was more physical. Trim was more physical, which wasn't a bad thing, but it seems as though with me being low seniority, I always ended up on the worst jobs.
So you felt the trim was harder on your body?
At that time, yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. But then after I came from, I went to paint, and I worked there for a long time, and then I went back to, because of problems in paint with my health, I went back to trim, and when I went back to trim, I ended up in a better area than I had been before. Although, you know, I was real physical then anyway, you know, as far as athletic. So I was in pretty good shape. So even though the work was difficult, it was okay for me because I was in pretty good shape. Okay. And then not quite as heavy as I am now. We're near as heavy as I am now.
So now I said that you, I know you said you had to take a break because you were pregnant. How many children do you have?
Two.
Two. Was it difficult working here and being a mother? And yes. What shift did you work on?
Initially, they had me on night shift. I absolutely hated it. I hate to work on nights. When I first hired in, I didn't have any children here, so nights wasn't a problem, even though I didn't like working nights. To me, still working nights is unnatural. You know, it's just is. But I didn't have problems working. Then I think I worked on nights maybe 2, maybe 3 years, and then I went on days. And I was one of the fortunate ones. Most of my career here was on day shift. How that happened, I don't know. But working here with children, it wasn't any more difficult than working anywhere else with children. I was kind of glad I did because of the benefits that I had to be able to take care of them.
Ah, so that's one of the things the union had?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Benefits and the vacation time. I never used any vacation time because we always had the changeover. You had the long breaks at Christmas time, you know, the holidays. Those are days that you normally use a vacation time for anyway, so I never took vacation until about 4 years ago.
Never? Mm-mm. Now, I know they talk about breaks. What were breaks like for you? Because I know they had the wagon.
Yeah, they did. They did.
So it was a lot. What was the wagon time like for you?
You know, I think our department, when they took the wagon away, I was working in paint, and I think that was the last area that had the wagon. So you had the breaks and you had the few minute breaks here. I mean, there was more time to be able to there was more recovery time on the jobs that you had. So even though you were working hard in a lot of instances, you had break times in between them to kind of rest up. Then you had that wagon that came around that was close to you so you didn't have to go far to get a snack or whatever you wanted to drink. It was a shame they took that wagon away.
Can you explain to the people who may not know what a wagon is?
The wagon is where there's a person that comes from the cafeteria into your work area, and they have a cart or wagon that's what they called it. And on there they had cookies and potato chips and juices and pop and candy, those kind of things that you could buy off of them. And you had like 5 or 6 minutes, I think it was 6 or 7 minutes. Six or seven minute break where you could go to the wagon and buy something that you wanted to eat or something just to kind of give you a little bit more energy to keep on going. So that was nice. I used to enjoy it. They had that orange drink on there. I used to absolutely love it because it was so cold. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that was good.
So you worked on the line and now you're an adapted person.
Mm-hmm.
And so was it the union that got you that job? Was that a union job?
It's a union position, yes.
And it's considered what's known as a non-traditional job?
It is a non-traditional job, and it is an international appointment.
And so there was a selection process.
Yes.
So by that being a union job, were you involved in the union for a long time, and how did that happen for you?
See, in 81, when I got hired in, I went up to paint in 84. It's 84, 85. And I got up there and I was working in 17-2. Never had even been in the paint department before. But there was when they used to polish the car with that solution in the wheel. They used to polish the car. And my partner was, well, first they had me on utility. And I didn't know anything about the jobs there. They just had me, whatever they told me to do, I did. And then I ended up getting a job in that department. And Joe Wills was my partner. And every time he would, it's funny because every time, you all know Joe? Mm-hmm. He was so 100% union, all, and he slept and breathed and sweated union. I mean, every time you'd hear him talk, all you'd hear was a national anthem playing in the background. You know, you'd hear that playing because he was so pro-union. And him and another guy talked me into becoming the EPG facilitator because I don't know who the one was before. They were gone and they needed another one. Employee Participation Group for EPG. And that was kind of liaison between management and union to kind of get the people in the areas involved. And they talked me into running for EPG leader in my group. And so I did, and I got it. And then between him and Veronica Johnson, Joe and Veronica, they used to talk to me about getting involved in the union and things like that. And I think the first thing that I did was worked on a Ling Brewer's campaign. And went out there and did, I had never done, you know, political stuff like that before, lit drops and all that kind of stuff. And I started doing that. And that's how I got involved. I was working on those campaigns and then EPG leader. And then I went from EPG leader to EPA, which is the EPG advisor for all the EPG leaders in the paint department. And I did that for about 4.5 years. And, yeah, sure.
So after being the advisor for 4 years, what did you do?
Well, what happened then was they derated the line. I was on day shift, and they derated the line. And to be able to hold the position, I had to be able to stay on the shift that I was elected on. And so I wasn't.
Now, you said derated.
They cut back on the speed of the line, and when they cut back on the speed of the line, it caused them to get rid of X amount of people. And so you had to be able to, and when they got rid of the people, they had to end up going to the opposite shift where they had lower seniority. So my seniority wouldn't hold the shift that I was elected on, so then I lost my EPA position, and I went back to the line.
No, when you said, because by you being an EPG leader and advisor, what were some of the big impacts of that program, would you say, on the plan?
One of the things that they had was, that comes to mind is paint discovery. Do you remember that? Were you up there then? Yes. And what they had was, they would work with the groups. That's when they really started the group concept as far as working with the individual groups in the area and trying to find out what it is that would make the department flow, the jobs flow. And one of the things we did was we went to other GM plants to find out how their paint department was set up and the problems that they had and the things they did to correct them, and brought all the information back here to our plant and implemented it here.
So they allowed employees, not just engineers, to go to these plants?
Sometimes, yes.
So again,
they did.
So employees had more say?
They had more say, and then they had, even as far as how the jobs were set up, they had a little bit of say in how they could set up to make it run, the department run better. And that paint discovery was a part of that. One thing I remember about that paint discovery thing, I remember, you know, when you were talking about women in the plant, You know, even though there was women here, there was a lot of things they didn't allow us to do. And I remember working on a proposal in that department and actually coming up with the proposal for the paint discovery process. And them thinking, and then my opposite was a man who was on night shift. And I remember them writing the proposal, getting it implemented, and they allowed him to run with the process. But me, being a female on days, felt like I needed some support on the proposal I wrote myself. And I remember them putting somebody with me, a supervisor, and I was so upset about that. And finally I went to a meeting and rant and raved and asked them had I, you know, established any kind of credibility in the job that I did. And they said yes, and I said, then why is it that you felt like I needed some assistance from a male management person when my night shift person, who is a male, didn't need the same help? And they removed him right after that.
Excellent for you. But now that brings up another question. What was it like for you coming in 79, 81, and as an African-American female?
I was the only one. Well, there was other African-American females that were hired at that time, too. I didn't have a lot of recourse in regards to that. That wasn't an issue for me.
Just being a female, that
was just being a female was more of an issue than being an African American female.
No,
at that time.
How did you feel that it was? Was that the same in trim as it was in paint?
Yeah.
The experiences are primarily.
Yeah, I do. They thought that any woman in this plant, if they did anything or moved up the ladder doing anything, there was a way that she got there.
Mm-hmm. Which wasn't necessarily with their brains, I think.
No, it was not with their brains. They felt like she was doing something else to be able to get where she was going.
So did you feel, so that's like you almost felt like by being a woman here you had to work harder?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Not necessarily on the line. Well, yeah, I did too, there too, because it felt like there were, I remember being put on jobs and she'll never be able to do that. And I remember I would do it, even though it was almost killing me sometimes, just to prove a point. I would never let, you know, like that old saying, never let them see you sweat. I didn't.
No, and I, just because I know, because I can tell and they can't, I know that you're only, what, 5 foot?
5'1".
She's 5'1", so therefore mm-hmm. you're 5'1", and you're little, 98 pounds.
At that time.
Trying to pull the car
mm-hmm.
together.
Mm-hmm.
So then you had to do that. So now after you were that, the advisor, being a woman, and
I was the only female. I think there may have been one other female prior to me, but I was the only African-American female that ever had that job until I think there was a person, one that after me. But I remember being the only female when we went to Paint Discovery. I was it. There was no other females there.
So, and that was.
But you know what? But the men here that were EPAs never made me feel like I was the only one. They never did. Mm-hmm. They never did.
That's great.
The only ones that made me feel like that was some of my peers that, from the past, that was on the line. But the EPAs didn't.
So you had a little sense of family and everything.
You did.
So I'm going to fast forward a little bit after that. So after you did, you went back to night shift, and
mm-hmm.
what happened?
Went back on the line. I got exposed to some really bad chemicals, and I had severe asthma problems from that, and I was off of work for about a year. And when I came back, they wanted to put me right back in the same department where I was, that I was exposed to the chemicals. And it was Aura and Dick Thalen that said she doesn't need to be around that anymore. And they helped me to get out of that department. And that's when I went to TRIM.
Mm-hmm. And when I went, Aura Calhoun?
Aura Calhoun and Dick Thalen. They both helped me to, and said she doesn't need to be here in that. And so then they transferred me to TRIM. I went back to TRIM. And I worked in TRIM, went to TRIM down there in the, I was putting roof deadeners in the car. And then I started working, doing the, I can't remember what it's called right now. But anyway, I was working in another area, and I was on that job probably for, after I came back from sick leave, for about 3 or 4 months. And the ergonomics job came open.
And that's what?
That's working with the system to actually try to find out where what it takes to do a job and have recovery time. And I'm trying to think what the true definition of it is. At that time, I knew what it was. Matter of fact, when I applied for the job, I was the only one that knew what ergonomics meant. And it's funny because Ron Grubaugh was the EPA in paint. And when I took that job, he went to ergonomics. That was the first, he was the first ergonomics rep in this plant, him and Sally Grubaugh. They were the first two. And I took that job and he went to ergonomics. And then I went to Trim and I was on the line and he retired and I went to ergonomics. So I replaced them both times, which is funny. Ergonomics, it's a process that fits a person to the job instead of the job to the person. You know, it finds out, it teaches you about the stresses and things that cause people to have injuries and try to set up jobs so they work without all those injuries. And the ergonomics process since then has grown immensely. You know, it's a big factor in this plant, and not just this one, in other plants too. But anyway, I went as an ergonomics monitor. So I would go out and look at jobs to see if there was any stresses on there that could cause potential injury on people, and try to make people, the management, aware of it so they can make the changes to accommodate the people. So that's how I ended up there.
And oftentimes you would come out and weigh things to see if the
weight was things, right. Time things, time their bending, measure their reach, all those things. Use the motors, test the torque on them, what it takes to shut or push and pull, all those factors that would put stresses on a person's body.
So your ergonomics job actually helped you prepare you to do your ADAPT job, it sounds like.
One thing led to another. One thing led to my health background basically helped me to prepare for all of those things.
So, being the fact that you worked on the line,
mm-hmm.
and then you worked on the and special job helping the people, what are some of the things that you think are special about Lansing Car Assembly that makes it different from other plants, that makes it tick? What was the glue that kept it together? What do you think?
The people.
People. What was it about the people that made it different?
You know, I remember the work was hard, but the people that you worked with were kind of kept together because it was like an extended family, you know. I remember working on the line and getting down the line and getting in trouble or being sick and can't hardly do anything, and the person on each side of me would help me do my job just to be able to stay up the line so that, you know, I could continue to work. The people did.
So
did
you guys have dinner together? Did you play together?
Everything.
What types of things did you guys do?
Everything. And, you know, we'd have dinners in the areas when we weren't supposed to. You know, they don't do that anymore, but they'd have potlucks and everybody'd bring a dish, you know, certain days of the week. If you had problems there, you know, on your job, I can only speak for myself. I don't know how it was. I never had a bad partner. And I know many people have, but I didn't. Every department that I had, my partners were good to me. I remember coming back from after having Rasan, and I was nursing, and I was still nursing when I came back to work. And I remember the first day I came back to work, I'd worked 11 hours. And usually we'd work only 8 hours. And then when they worked overtime, I always had somebody else do my overtime for me because I didn't like the overtime. And I remember being up in paint, and Bill Weston, he was the, what do you call him?
Pickup man.
He would give me extra breaks just so I could go to the bathroom to pump, you know, so that I wouldn't be so engorged. Things like that, you know, those kind of things.
And the pickup man's job is, so for those who don't know what a pickup man is.
It's a person that would, if you had to use the bathroom, they would give you a relief. They would do your job so that you could go to the bathroom, or if you got sick and needed to go to medical, they would cover your job and do your job until you went to the hospital and came back. And that's what he did. But sometimes, you know, a lot of times they had extra time where people online were tied to the line, and he would give me extra breaks so I could do that. I never will forget him, and a couple other guys used to do that for me. And I didn't even know him that well. You know, I had just went up there. I remember getting sick. Remember we had the IP area? Mm-hmm. I got sick one time out there. I'd hurt my back or something, and I was taking pain medication, and it made me so sick. And I was so sick I couldn't hardly do my job. And I remember Jerry Metz was on one side of me, and I can't remember the guy's name was on the other side of me. They doubled up and did my job until I could get myself back together again. You know, things like that. So, yeah, it's the people that made it
happen.
Yeah, it did.
Now, I know that we've had a lot of different programs here. Mm-hmm. And I know that we've had programs not just for ourselves, but for our children.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm asking this because I know you had two children who I think they both went through what was called
the LAMP program. Right?
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a little bit about the LAMP program and what you think of it as an hourly worker and a parent with a child that went through that program?
The LAMP program is the Lansing Area Manufacturing Partnership. And that was a partnership between the Ingham-Eaton School District, UAW, and GM. And it's actually schooling that teaches them all aspects of manufacturing from the first line, from being on the line to upper management. And it teaches them all aspects of the business. And one of the things that it did was it also prepared them to be able to, it made them job ready, you know, it helped them to become job ready. And to teach them there were all the skills, interview skills, computer skills. It encompassed math and writing and English and all of those things, in addition to the other things that I just mentioned. And they actually got graded for that class. And there was an afternoon class and there was a morning class, and there was only select students that got selected. So even though both my kids ended up being there, they were picked out of a number of, I think that sometimes there was like 200 or 300 people that would have kids would apply. And when my son got selected, and they didn't know he was my son, so it wasn't like they were showing favoritism. He got selected into the LAMP program, and my daughter did also. And they got school grades. They were there from like 7 in the morning to like 10 in the morning. And it took the place of like 3 or 4 classes that they would have had to take in at their home school. So they got credit for that. They also got credit, college credits at LCC, if they were going to go to LCC, those things too. So it helped prepare them for the workforce, or to go to college, whatever it was that they wanted to go to. But it taught them about manufacturing.
So that was one thing that General Motors gave back to the community, in a sense,
mm-hmm.
and the UAW. And now I know that you also were a mentor, correct?
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit
about they started the mentor program when they started the LAMP program. And I've been a mentor for every single year that they have been. And it just so happened that as being a mentor, I was a mentor like maybe 5 years before my kids came. So they were end up being in there too. But each child has to have a mentor that kind of they follow around once a month or however many times a month. And it teaches them about your job. And you're also an avenue for them to find out different things that they need to learn about in manufacturing and direct them in the right way to go and teach them other aspects of manufacturing, whether it be job shadowing or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. So so that's one way that they've given to the community. Now, into the Lansing area. But no, it's not just the Lansing area, right?
Initially, it started out the Lansing area, Ingham-Eaton Intermediate School District. Now, it's on the... now they stretch out to the outlining areas like St. John and DeWitt and all around the Lansing area, schools all around the Lansing area. So it's not just Ingham Intermediate. They've stretched out. And since they started the program there, Detroit has also patterned their program. They have a program there, and I think it's called DVP or DVP, something like that, but it's like our LAMP. And they've kind of modeled their program after our LAMP program.
It's great to know what they did for the community. But now I know a lot of this had union involvement to do with it. Can you tell me some things that you did about your union activity and your union involvement?
I've worked with just about every committee that's over there. I worked with union. I was on the union labor committee a long time ago. That's back when Joe Wills was the person over union labor.
The union labor chairperson.
Mm-hmm. And I worked with Al Eby in the Constitution. We worked on many, 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 many campaigns until he retired.
That was considered the Citizenship and Legislation Committee?
Yes. And I also worked with the women's, I wasn't on the women's committee, but I worked at everything that they did. I worked with them on all those things, the union picnics, the Black History Program. One of the first members, along with yourself, for the Black History Program. I remember the first one we did, I remember we did that dance, mm-hmm. the African dance, welcome dance, on that Black History Program. Also, I was on the election committee for a long, long time. I was the secretary of the Ingham County Democratic Party, and I was the vice chair of Ingham County Democratic Party after I became, a couple years after I did that, then I ran for the vice chair, and I got that too. So I was on the CAP Council.
And the CAP Council does what?
I was a CAP delegate. That's what I was. That's the political portion of the UAW, along with 652 and the other ones. And there's a council, and they have delegates. So I was a CAP delegate for many years also.
And that went hand in hand with your Citizenship and Legislative
yes.
Committee
yes.
involvement, correct?
Yes, it did.
And so what, and just because you had those different things, and we had union label this, can you tell us brief, you know, just maybe like a brief definition of what a union label committee person does?
Union label helps find out things that they try to encourage you to buy union-made products. So we worked on the committee to get that information out to the workforce. So that people are aware of things that they can buy, things that they can do that are indicative of our environment, of our union label, rather than to buy foreign products.
Perfect. And under the Citizenship and Legislative Committee, what is that committee? What did that committee do?
Working on all the different campaigns and getting people, working on campaigns for people that support us, that support the factory workers or the UAW, and you support people that support you. So we worked on doing that, all the different bills and things that were being passed that would affect us in one way or another, more on the positive note, the things that would help us.
So now that was the Citizenship and Legislative. Now what does an election committee person do?
Anytime that there's a person that's running for elected position within the UAW, in our own local, whether it be vice president, president, chairperson, committee people, well, they have to have an election to select those people. And so it's just like going to the polls to vote for a president of the United States. You have to have somebody to be able to account for all the ballots and the votes and things that come in. And so I worked on the committee doing that.
And now, the union picnic.
It's a picnic that they have every August. For the UAW members of Local 602. And this is a way that the union gives back to the membership by having this huge picnic for the membership and their families to go out there and just have a good time and to fellowship together and play games and just have a good time.
So just one of those things to kind of make that glue.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
And now, the Women's Committee. Mm-hmm. What types of
It's work? A coalition of labor union women. Where I was on Clue, too. Where the Women's Committee, you know, a lot of times there's, I mean, everything, with it being so few of us, there's, to get women involved in the UA, in the union, and every aspect of the union. And one of the things that helps does that is a committee, because women in the union do the, we work here and get paid in sweat, blood, sweat and tears, just like the guys do. But there is a committee there to kind of helps, bring the women together, to let them know that they're not alone in this, and to help support the UAW.
Great. Now, I know you help with the Black History Program, mm-hmm. and as the founding members. Do you want to say anything about that?
We were the first Black History Program in Lansing and the surrounding areas to have a Black History Program to recognize the African American that's within our UAW, because it's not just one of the things I learned about Black history is there's no Black history, there's no white history, just history properly taught. And this was a way of informing our workforce about us as a people. Because, you know, lack of ignorance and lack of knowledge is what divides us, but it's our diversities that, you know, when people understand things about who you are and what you're about, it kind of cuts down those, breaks down those walls that divide us. So we had a program there, and there was, you know, there was things that historically that we talked about, the people that were before us, like people that, you know, that invented things, doctors and, you know, things that were the first doctors in regards to a heart transplant, and all those things about our people that a lot of people don't know. Some of us don't even know. You know, this was just to make people knowledgeable.
So, you were involved a lot in the union. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you were, now, were you a Lansing resident?
I was originally born in Jackson, Michigan, but I've lived here all my life.
So, did growing up here or being a resident here, how has the plant affected your life as a resident of Lansing?
You know, it's my father worked here for a short period of time. I don't know why he didn't stay. I'm not real clear on why he didn't stay, but he worked there for a while. And this is it's a job. It's a place of employment that has employed a lot of people, and given them a decent quality of living, where a lot of the jobs in the community has not. You know, and because of the UAW involvement in it, is we get decent wage for a decent, you know, day's work. And, you know, a lot of jobs, they can just fire you for no reason, don't have the benefits that we have here. And General Motors has been a huge icon in this community that has provided many, many people and families with, you know, good means of living. It has. And, I mean, I don't know what I've done with my... There's no way I could have taken care of my children the way I've taken care of them if I hadn't been employed here. Mm-hmm. You know, a decent way of living.
Decent way of living. So, as we come to a close, can you probably tell me maybe what was one of your best memories that you had here in this plant?
People have been good to me here. They have. You know, for the most part, people have been good to me, both management and hourly, both. Just to be able to, just given the opportunity to, working on the line was never enough for me. And just to be able to apply for something or to see something that would allow me to continue to grow and being able to take advantage of it, even though sometimes it was a struggle. Matter of fact, most times it was a struggle. But still, nonetheless, I was able to keep on going mm-hmm. and do what I wanted to do. I don't know.
Great. Well, in this interview, thank you for your time. In this interview, there
You're
was
welcome.
Cheryl McQuaid, Linda
Johnson,
John Fidawa, and
Doreen Howard.
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.